You're listening to an Iowa Catholic Radio special presentation in South Africa with Deacon Tony Valdez and Maddie Maher.
We've got some people to talk to who were just getting their impressions on what they've seen and what they've heard and just, you know, how it's going for them. This is quite a trip and undertaking. Maddie, do you have any comments that you want to say before we get started here?
It's been a great experience, and I've really enjoyed it. But yeah, let's just get right to it, Deacon Tony.
Okay. The first couple that we're going to have on, they're from St. Francis Parish, and it's Roxanne Ackerson, Ackerman.
Ackerson.
I had it right the first time. And Steve Ackerson. They're going to come on and just give a little indication of what they think, the wows, and maybe what really surprised them. So, Roxanne, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
All right. Just whatever's on your mind, just talk about what you feel, what you've enjoyed.
Okay. Well, and when I came to South Africa on this mission, I really didn't know what I would be experiencing. So, haven't ever been on anything like this before. One of the first days that we were here, we gave new mattresses to a boarding school where students live there even over the weekend. Their reason for staying there is because of distance, so on, that their parents just leave them there, and they really are unsupervised over the weekend. So when we walked up to this school, there were probably 70 students, 70 to 100. I'm not sure on the numbers.
And they were only two supervisors, right?
Only two supervisors, yes.
Yes.
There's a boys' dorm and a girls' dorm, which is really just some small buildings with bedrooms in there. And it just really touched my heart when we walked into these dorms and there were four to six bunk beds in a room and just crowded conditions. We had only about 15 new mattresses that we brought, and these students were all hoping they were going to be the ones to get the new mattress, but it had to go with the greatest need. And
yeah, I remember what really struck me is we were bringing over these mattresses, and the cook came out and asked if she could have one of them, and we talked to Doc, and he said, you know, the hardest thing about being a missionary is that you have to learn how to say no. And it really is a difficult thing to learn. You know, you can't help everyone, but you have to help someone. And that's what they're trying to start going so that eventually they can help everyone. And it was a tough first lesson, I think, when we first rolled in to see that we actually can't do all that we want to do.
Yes, it was challenging. And we learned that to keep these children safe, even though they're not really supervised, they lock the girls in at night, overnight, so that they're separated from the boys because there isn't supervision. So that has been of concern to us, and that can be something that someone may be able to affect later on. But yeah, it was just eye opening having had teenagers and but the fun thing that we did that same day is we brought some new soccer balls with us that some of our team members had donated. And these kids, when we got there, they were just walking around in groups, just kind of aimlessly, nothing scheduled, nothing to do, no class on the weekends. And we got these soccer balls out, and they just kind of came to life and ran into the classrooms, were bringing desks out into the play yard. We wanted them to go to the soccer field that we had mowed for them, but they decided to play right on the concrete. Soccer in their bare feet,
but they were just think they wanted to be too far away from us. It was kind of cute.
Yeah. So a couple of our adult team members tried to play a little bit, but mostly we just enjoyed watching them being kids again and just having fun, having a ball to play with. They hadn't had anything like that. So it's just eye opening to see what little things can make a difference for them.
Well, thanks, Roxanne. Roxanne, next to you is your husband, Steve. And Steve, would you like to join us and give us your thoughts and impressions of South Africa?
When I first thought about coming on this trip, I know Scott Brunchen, a good friend of mine, was very close with Dr. Blessman and told me about his mission and so on and what to do. And after a while, my wife and I discussed, and we said, we need to be a part of this. But one thing I was not prepared for, how this trip helped me spiritually. And because you look at everything you have, and you take it for granted. You come here, and you see people living in poverty, you know, children talking about how they haven't had breakfast. Their only lunch food really is at school. They have 14 brothers and sisters. There isn't enough food at night. But you look at them, and their smile and their love and their belief in God is just inspiring. And to me, I just cannot believe, you know, how positive they are. And, of course, going to church and hearing the choirs, I'm also embarrassed about America's choirs compared to what we've experienced here. My gosh, they all should be, you know, going to the Grammys.
You know, they were quite amazing.
Oh, they're unbelievable. But for me, just experiencing and being around, and when you're playing with the children, you know, we've gone and we've, you know, helped in many things. As my wife talked about mattresses, I was involved in, giving eyeglasses and examining their eyes and making sure, and they're so grateful to do it. There's so many different things, but just overall, I just think being here as an individual, I just think these folks, a lot of them we met, I think God just has a special thing in his heart for them. And I'm not worried about them going to heaven. I'm more worried about myself, because what they've done and what I failed to do to embrace and, you know, and being involved in helping people, this has turned my life around.
Yes, they're very inspirational in that they're so happy with what little they have, and joyful and full of love. So,
well, I really enjoy playing the game. We were playing patty cake, planning patty cake with them at the school, and I love it. And playing patty cake, and all of a sudden you say as fast as you can, and then the kids, you have like 12 or 10 or 12 kids jumping on top of you, laughing and screaming.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, it is so inspiring being around them and their love, and giving you the hugs. They just grab onto you and just hug you and don't want you to go.
They have so much love to give. And
oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. I'd only hope that other people will think about doing mission trips and experience what I did, you know, and what we all have. We just have a great group, too. I mean, we have the most caring individuals here on this trip. And Dr. Blessman and his wife have done a fabulous job. But again, spiritually, this has just revived me.
Mm. Well, thank you, Steve. Thanks for sharing. Next, we have Steve Howard, another parishioner from St. Francis, and he would like to talk about some things he's experienced on this trip.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, my wife, Deanne, and I are both members of St. Francis, and I have had just a fantastic trip so far with all of these children, playing with them, working with them. We played games the other day at one of the schools where we would basically slowly describe the different animals around the world, especially in their country in South Africa. And the kids were so happy to be able to play a new game and identify the animal just by describing it. One of the things that I discovered when I came over here was Dr. Blessman has a program called Hunt for Hunger. South African citizens have an abundance of game here. And they are affiliated with various game ranches. So here in South Africa, they don't have soybeans and corn like we do. They have lots and lots of big ranches with wild game. They just have to contain it. And when I say big, I had the opportunity to hunt on a 25,000-acre ranch for a day and a half. They provide all the equipment. I've been an avid hunter all my life. I grew up on a farm in southeast Iowa. My father and my grandfather taught me you never shoot anything unless you're going to eat it, and I had the opportunity to do that here. And I hunted for a wildebeest, which is one of the most more abundant game animals they've got on this continent. They run in herds that are massive, like buffalo in America in the olden days in South Dakota and North Dakota. And it was a fascinating process. I didn't come prepared for this, but they supplied everything, the equipment, the firearms. I didn't really need any training, but I had a guide who just graduated from one of the universities here in game management. So he's got a degree in basically how to specialize in taking care of their game animals, their assets, and to help you keep from getting in trouble. And then he, in turn, had a tracker who also helped identify which animals we were after. And we hunted for a day and a half, like I said, and on the second day, I had the opportunity to harvest an adult male wildebeest, and it was a fascinating process because we had to, after it was deceased, after I shot it, we loaded immediately. They had their own locker facility, and additional laborers, natives here, immediately butchered it right on the spot in their facility, and the meat was cubed up and prepared to give back to the children of the schools that Dr. Bussman helps in 2 days. And he is, last year, I think he said they harvested 36,000 pounds of different game animals here. So I had the opportunity to, you know, basically do this, and a 500-pound animal harvested out 250 pounds of protein. And it was a really neat experience, and I hope to be able to come back and do it again.
That's a great story because there is plentiful game out here, and it goes to good use. It's not wasted. It's just not for some kind of sport thrill or whatever, but it's used, and the people are appreciative of it.
Yeah, and the family that owned this big ranch I went to give you an idea, I mean, it's such a different part of the planet. Africaners, they've been here for generations. The gentleman that has this big ranch, his father is across the road. He has another 15,000 acres, and it's all in orchards. So he has, I think, he said oranges and peach trees. But they've been here since, I'm going to guess, the 1700s. And they employ hundreds of employees. So this is a main source of employment for all these folks. The other thing that surprised me is every time we've had to get fuel for our vehicles, it's full service because they still have full service. They try and keep all their citizens employed if they can. Yeah. But it's been a wonderful experience, and I hope to be able to come back on another trip and help with the children and potentially hunt again.
Yeah, I think it's so cool how they just donate the meat, you know, because I was talking to Johanny, the gentleman who runs the farm, and he said most of this meat wouldn't sell for very much.
Yep.
So they're not really losing much when they donate it, but they're giving so much because these children don't usually get meat. It's usually a vegetarian diet if it's not
right.
Donated because meat is expensive for the kids. So.
Yeah, and we actually did grill some tonight, and it was very good. Everyone had a chance to sample it, and we'll deliver the rest tomorrow. So it's a good source. I know we get a big discount on these kind of hunts. Dr. Blessman gets a discount back, or maybe I should say he gets a commission for having any of his guests who come through different church organizations. And it is something that they depend on. They don't look at it like anything other than what it is. They need the protein. And that's probably one of those most abundant game animals they have here. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for sharing, Steve. We appreciate that. And we're going to turn things over to another guest.
Next up, we have the two youngest members of our team. We have the Kellerman sisters, Madison and Maya. So I'll give the mic over here to Madison first. Madison, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. So can you just tell us a little bit about your experience here in Africa?
This experience has been amazing, and it's not really what I expected out of a mission trip. With mission trips, I always think about just giving them things to make them happy, but I really learned that it's not the things that make them happy. It's the presence of you being with them and having somebody that really cares for them, and it's all about spreading that happiness, because happiness can go so much further than just giving them stuff. And that's especially what I learned at Del Kramer, where a bunch of kids go that are underprivileged. They're the most impoverished kids in the Sagakapang village. And a bunch of kids go there, and we basically just hung out with them. And that's where I learned the most about them and about myself. And it's a really humbling experience to be here.
So I'll turn it over to Maya now. Thanks, Madison. Maya, how's your experience been?
Mine's been really, really, really good, and I'm really thankful that we get to do it being so young, because I know a lot of people don't get this opportunity,
And it's been really, like, interesting to me to see the difference between our daily lives and, like, what we consider struggles compared to what they deal with here. And I think it's just so cool because especially with being younger, the kids are just attracted to you. So you just get to talk to them and hear their story and everything. And it's really, really cool to see how they live.
So what has been the most influential place you've been to yet?
I would say probably Del Kramer. Because they're the most impoverished kids, but they're just so happy. Mm-hmm. And just, they don't need anything to be happy. So that's pretty great.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks, girls. We're going to turn it over next to Deanne. Deanne, how has your trip here been so far?
Emotionally exhausting. We've had a really, really terrific week this week. I didn't come with any expectations, and so I have been overwhelmed with the emotions and the experiences that we've been able to have.
Now, Deanne, you've kind of been our house mom this whole time. You've taken care of not only the children of South Africa, but you've also taken care of us. I don't know how you do it, but you've been able to stay so positive and just encouraging us every day when some of these days get pretty hard, you know.
They are hard, and I guess I didn't understand exactly why I was called to be on this trip, but after Father Ray talked to us and said, you know, I haven't had anybody who's been on the trip before, and we need a kitchen captain, and I'm like, I can do that. That's something I can do, and I really feel that that was the role I was, you know, asked to fill. That's what God wanted me to do when I was here, and I've been very blessed to be able to do that.
And what here has struck you the most as the most important thing that we've done or the most touching thing that we've done for you?
Boy, it's really difficult, Maddie, to pick one thing. But what really touched me was the Days for Girls. And we went to Mokopane South and did a Days for Girls outreach there. And as part of the Days for Girls outreach and helping the girls understand that they have an opportunity to have feminine hygiene products that can be reused, that they may not have access to, that they could stay in school as they grew into women, was something that really touched me to be able to give them that opportunity. And as we were doing that, we also measured the girls for underwear. Mm-hmm. And the girls were so excited about that. And that really gave me an opportunity to be up close and personal with those young women and to look them in the eye, you know, to see them, smile with them, see how happy they were, but also made me really humble when I realized that their uniforms were stained, needed mending. They didn't have all their buttons, you know, could have been mismatched. And to know that school was so important to them that they would take whatever hand-me-downs that they could get and do whatever mending needed to be done so that they could attend school. That really touched my heart.
Yeah, it was very humbling, as you said, to hand out those things to the girls because they were so excited for something that we take for granted. I mean, we don't even think twice about hygiene products in the United States, and this is something that could really change their lives. Some girls miss weeks and weeks of school throughout the year because of these hygiene products. So,
absolutely. And something that we don't always appreciate, I think, in the United States when these girls are young and when they, you know, start their cycles, they're missing school. And that's a sign to other people that they are young women. And that can put them at risk for not being able to achieve their dreams for the future. And this is an opportunity for them to maybe keep that under wraps for a while, you know, from the rest of their community so that they can work hard in school and achieve their dreams.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful with the Days for Girls that Doc and Father Ray also gave a talk to the kids about, you know, their goals and what they wanted to achieve and what would happen to those goals if the women were to fall pregnant or if they were had to fall out of school. And it was All the kids seem to really understand it. And I don't know if you could talk to a group of 11 and 12-year-olds in the States and they would really understand what, you know, he was talking about. But they all understood that I could easily fall pregnant and I could easily fall out of school. And I just thought that was a very important part of the Days for Girls.
Yeah, what was really compelling to me is when Doc and Father Ray were asking, well, do you know anybody who's pregnant or been pregnant? And this was a group of young women that were 11 and 12 years old, and it was a resounding yes. And that's not something that you expect, and it was fairly clear to me that it wasn't necessarily older girls.
Well, thank you so much, Deanne. You've been a rock star this trip, and we just appreciate you coming on and talking to us.
My pleasure.
All right, and next we're going to turn it over to an actual employee of Blessman International. This is Erica. Erica is just starting here as an intern, and she's going to be here with Blessman for 11 months. So, Erica, what made you choose Blessman International to work for?
Well, Maddie, so I actually interned with Blessman International 2 years ago. I was interning with them for about 2 months, and keep going. I interned with them for about 2 months before, and I had such an incredible experience where I just got to just really experience Africa in its fullness for the first time. I'd never been to Africa. I had seen poverty before, but I've never been immersed like I was for such a long period of time. And then Doc was knocking on my door asking me to come back after I graduated from university. So now I decided to spend some more time and spend a year here. So
yeah, I've learned that when Doc asks you to do something, it's extremely hard to say.
Yeah, it's very hard to say.
He's very persistent.
Very persistent. Yeah, he's an amazing guy.
So what will be your role here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I get to primarily work with, there's a lot of different hats that I'll wear while I'm here, but my primary role will be working with Blessman International's new Teach a Child to Fish program. And so what they're basically doing is bringing farmers in from the surrounding areas, whether they're head of parts of schools or if they're within the community and the rural farmers, they'll be teaching those farmers more sustainable practices on our farm here at Blessman International's campus. So we'll have test plots where they get to plant new gardens and kind of test out different methods of sustainable agriculture, and then also bring those gardens back or bring those techniques back to their own gardens, as well as help start school gardens where they get to teach children how to farm and also why fruits and vegetables are important. So, yeah.
Is this program more focused towards like industrial farming or big time farming, or is it going to be more on just like the everyday life?
Yeah, it's going to be probably more small scale. So it's more teaching farming. So there'll be small scale farmers that could use it for as a method of income or there might be subsistence farming, which is more small scale for their family members. So that's going to be one of the primary roles, as well as creating new school gardens or community gardens as well, where multiple people have stake in the game, and it's able to spread the labor and make it more of a sustainable way to teach communities how to farm.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing program, and good luck in your next 11 months here. That's
all right.
So exciting.
Thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.
Hey, we just want to tell you listeners out there that if you feel compelled to volunteer to come out to South Africa, please check out Blessman International on the website. They have information there that you can look up and even sign up for if you want to. This is a well worthwhile organization, and we're just pleased to be with them. Next on the interview list is Chris Brault, who's going to be talking about his feelings. And Chris, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
Maddie.
Just how do you feel? What's hit you so hard?
Well, a lot of things, quite honestly. It's been an amazing week so far. We still have a few more days. But I already feel that there's some changes I'm undergoing in my life and the just way I feel about things. It's been a very emotional experience.
It does touch you when you look around and see just all the things that we take for granted that are not here for these people. I mean, the housing, it's so hot down here, but there's no air conditioning for these people. Sometimes no running water, you know.
Tony, we were involved in a meeting today with the bishop. I found it interesting is that we went to sit in his office, and he puts on a jacket, and And it was quite warm in that room. And, you know, they're more accustomed to it than we are. It takes some acclimation to it. But you're right. That's, you know, they expect it. They don't live in an air-conditioned world like we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Any of the locations that have struck you, any of the projects that we've done?
Well, I think the location that struck me most was probably Blinkwater. The reason being is it is the impoverished of the impoverished.
Yes.
It really was a very poor school. And when you see what they have to work with, there is one lady in charge of all these kids. The teacher, there's supposed to be a teacher and I believe another assistant there, and they have not been able to somehow get those people the funding, and so she's running everything on her own. There's a cook outside, and she cooks in an outdoor cooking area and to put the kids' meals together. There's a well that was provided. They now have a well. They used to have to haul water in by school bus. They now have a well. So that's a good thing. But the school itself is very deteriorated. The sidewalks out front are heaved and buckled. Some window panes broken. The part, the ceiling has fallen in. And even though there were light fixtures on the ceilings, very, very, you know, single tube light fixtures, they weren't on. There's power lines right across the street, but they can't afford to power the school.
Right.
And so they don't have power. Like I said, they don't have toilets. They do have some toilets now, but they don't have what we are accustomed to with running water and a place to wash your hands. So they do so much with so little. It's just it's pretty heart-wrenching.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Dr. Blessman responsible, along with some others, to get that well, the windmill running, and water pumping again
so
that they could have running water?
Yes. In fact, Blessman, along with Hy-Vee and the Rotary Club, were all responsible for helping to fund and implement and get this well drilled. And what they did here, because they didn't want to incur the cost of electricity, is they drilled the well proximate to an old windmill location, and then they use the old windmill to pump the water so that they don't have to incur these costs.
Sure. Yeah.
I never knew that Hy-Vee had such a strong impact over here. I mean, they really have donated a lot. So everyone, if you next time you go into Hy-Vee, find management and tell them thank you, because they've done some amazing work with Blessman International. It's truly been wonderful.
It's been great, yes. Chris, thanks so much for your time. We're going to hand the mic over to your lovely wife, Rita, and she's going to talk about some of her experiences here in South Africa. Welcome, Rita.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good.
Good, good.
Better.
This is day, I don't know what day it is. It's Friday. Yes, that's
yes.
What's going on.
How long have we been here? It seems like it's been 3 weeks or 2 days. I can't decide.
It's a blur of little faces.
I know.
Yes.
What strikes you the most? What's impacted
well,
you?
Well, I'm changing gears so I don't break down sobbing. I think that I fell into the role that I'm now coming into with my own family as being a grandma, which here is cuckoo. And it's a universal thing. They want to be touched and hugged and loved on.
Oh, gosh.
So yes, I started doing that.
I know. It's amazing how quick they will show you love.
Oh, yes. If you hug one, you're going to hug 25, and then it becomes 50, and then they want to multiple. They want to be touched by you. They want to touch you. They want to touch your hair.
Just a little attention.
They just...
The human
the
touch.
First glances, you'll watch them glance at you, and they don't really... They'll circle you. And then they come around closer and then closer. So universal, like I said, falling into the role of I'm not going to be out there running. I tried that once. I thought it was going to die in the heat. But just loving on them and giving them hugs.
Yeah.
Chris's mom made rosaries, has been doing it for years, and she sent 300 with us, which we're going to complete handing out. And a lot of them do not know anything about it but the cross, but they knew God. They'd say God. Mm-hmm. And to see their faces when they understood that they were getting something pretty and fun and they could wear. They didn't understand the whole rosary part, most of them. Some did. But that they were wearing the God symbol like we were. And handing out those was also extremely touching and
sure.
just made me feel like a grandma and like I was loving on my own family. I have 5 kids and 5 grandkids, and that felt like it multiplied by a lot.
Then I noticed if you couldn't really break through, get their attention, you tickle them.
Well, my deal was, especially when we were delivering from on the optical, and they were a little older, these girls, and they'd be looking at each other at the corner of their eye, and I'd say, okay, I got a rule. You either give me a smile or you get a tickle. And most wanted both. They'd give you a smile, but they wanted you to tickle them, which is really cute. But again, the universal, the world around, there's not too many little kids that we'd even pretend to tickle. You wouldn't even touch them, and they'd be just giggling and running away, and then they'd come back for more. And but yes, I told them, I said, nope, I got to have a smile, and they have such beautiful smiles.
Oh, yes.
And I think some of them don't use that enough, and I hope that they think back on our visit. Some of us may come back, some of us may not, but even as adults, they think back of those people that came. Mm-hmm. And oh, how much fun it was, and the girls and the adults loving on them and getting something little. Maybe those rosaries will still be in a drawer in 5 years.
Yeah.
You just feel like you want to leave a little piece of you with them because they've left such a big piece
yeah.
of them with us.
And I notice how all of you are telling them how much God loves them.
Yes.
And do not be afraid that he's not there. God will be with you all the time. Just ask.
Yes, and wearing that cross was the nicest thing to point to,
yeah.
and they'd understand.
So many of those kids would grab the crosses that we're wearing and would just look at them, and that
yes.
would just open the door to say, do you know who this is?
Uh-huh.
And
yes,
start the
it was
conversation.
Wonderful. It was wonderful. Yeah. It was, it's, yes, I hope I get to come back.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that, if not here, somewhere, but here is really well set up, and they've got their ministries in place, and they know their community. They
right.
know where the needs are, which is wonderful. You feel like you're coming, and they've kind of got it in place for you.
Mm.
So I would highly recommend coming here.
Rita, thank you. Thanks
thank
so
you
much
very much,
for your
Tony.
Time.
And thank you for
and
a fun
we'll
week.
We'll see you on the hot trails tomorrow, I'm
yes.
sure.
We're flying first, so we're, you know,
oh, my
going up above and seeing everything.
Me.
So.
Thank
Tony,
you.
We've had
thank
so
you.
Many just wonderful experiences. And next we have to talk about is Carolyn Masmar. Did I say that correctly?
Hi there.
Hi. I thought we were going to chat first. No?
Oh.
Okay.
No.
Oh, no.
No, you're on.
Okay.
Carolyn, what has just been one experience that has really touched you in this trip?
Oh, well, it's really hard to just point it to one. There have been so many. My mind goes through each day a little bit, and something pops up. Today is the freshest day. We went to an orphanage for babies that were pretty much newborns or preemies. I think they even maybe had some up, and I think they have them through 18 months, their literature said.
Yeah.
And I would say that would be the range that we had. I might have thought they might have been a little bit older, but and they had 25. I think that's maybe the maximum they can have.
Yeah.
When we got there, it was just about time for them to have a little lunch, and so we would pick one up, or they would walk over to us. Some were shyer, some were a little more reserved, but some of them, there was one that just was very comfortable and would run around and just was everybody's joy. But most of us kind of settled on one or two for the time we were there, and it was really sweet. The one that I had, I can't remember his name, I wrote it down, Imbuda, something like that. Anyway, the caretaker there said that he was about a year old. He was born a preemie. And he had been back and forth to the hospital many, many times, was not expected to live several times, and he just was a fighter. He's a little bit behind because of all of that. He still had a scar in his neck, I'm sure, where he had maybe a trach tube for some of the time. But he really was doing well and was plumping right up. And it took him a little bit to connect with us. I held him for a little bit, and he wasn't looking at me. But little by little, he'd kind of peek around, and then eventually your eyes really met each other. And it's hard to think of them. I just pray that he will find a good home. Each one of them deserve that.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful that we went there today, because today back in the United States, we're recording right now on Friday, and today back in the United States is the March for Life. And I thought it was just a beautiful moment that we went to this orphanage of basically these babies. Most of them were throwaway babies, mm-hmm. is what they called them.
Yes.
They had either found them and someone had brought them in, or their mothers had left them on their doorstep. Mm-hmm. And they were just these unwanted children. But as we held them, there was nothing unwanted about them. You know, they were these precious mm-hmm. children. And the little girl I had, she was one of the younger ones in mm-hmm. the toddler section. And she just cuddled right up to me mm-hmm. the entire time. And she had been sick, I think, the last few days, so she was not feeling very energetic. The other guys, some of them were running around, mm-hmm. but she was just cuddled up to me. And the whole time I was thinking about the marchers over in D.C. and how this is such an important role that they're playing right now, because anywhere else these babies could have just been aborted. Mm-hmm. But here they are in a loving, the nurses there were also loving.
They were wonderful. You could tell how much they cared. And they also had volunteers that come in many afternoons a week to just love on these kids.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because I have my little grandson turns 2 on the 19th, tomorrow.
Oh.
And he's going to be joined by a brother or a sister within a couple of weeks. And when we didn't get to hold the little newborns, but there were quite a few in that section too. And to look over to those little tiny girls and boys, and the volunteers there were so caring. And if one started crying, they would move over and they would have one in their arm, and they'd be rocking the little chair that they'd be in to try to soothe them. You could just feel the love there.
Yeah, that was a really touching experience for me as well. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, it was just nice to see those kids getting the love that they deserve.
Yes, and I believe Blessman supports it. I know we brought some juices and things over to help out.
Yeah, I think he does most of what he can to help out with them.
Yes.
Provide them food and support, you know. Those mm-hmm. kids need some one-on-one attention, and they never get it. So it's nice when he's able to bring over a group to each focus on one child.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And
you're very welcome.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, folks, that if you feel like you're being called to something like this, go to Blessman International, go to the website, and take a look around. And then if you do, there's contact information there that you can look into and become a part of this. It's a game changer, and I'll tell you, it's just so rewarding that you're helping these little kids and babies who have been abandoned. So our next guest is Dee. And Dee, what is your last name?
It's Buckowich.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay.
Dee is one of our members who is not from the St. Francis team, and she's not even from Des Moines. So we were so happy that she joined us. She's from Chicago, good old Windy City.
Yep. Yep.
And Dee, what got you connected with Blessman International?
Well, actually, Deanne Howard,
okay,
who you heard from earlier. Deanne and I have been friends for 20-some years, and the two of us, this had been on our bucket list for the last several years. And so she saw Blessman at St. Francis, looked at it, read about it, called me. We said, this is it. This is the call. It's now time. and let's just jump in with both feet. And it has been an incredible blessing. I did not have any preconceived notions of exactly what was it going to look like, what would we experience, because I knew you can only be disappointed, because in your mind you make it up. And it was awesome. So if anyone is thinking about it, absolutely you should do it. And the thing that comes to mind is there isn't any one day that I'm going to say anything about. Maybe I will. But on my office wall, I have a giant whiteboard, and up in the corner, in big letters, I have Choose Joy. And I tell all the guys that work for me, you guys, joy is a choice. And it is your joy to steal or to hold on to. And I will tell you, the lesson on joy that I have seen here, the amount of joy and the smiles and the happiness in these kids who have nothing. And I sent a couple pictures to both of my sons who are in their 30s, and both of them commented, these kids look happier than the American kids we see all the time, yet they have nothing. And
that's the contradiction about it.
Exactly. And American kids who have so much and who are so blessed, I don't think that they realize how blessed they are, and they're unhappy about their circumstance, about whatever that may be. And you look around, and you guys, every school that we were at, the joy and the happiness that we saw everywhere we went was just remarkable. And so it was a good lesson to just remind us, look and see joy where you can, and choose to be joyous, because those kids, they have a lot to be unhappy about. And yet, there they were, so appreciative, so thankful for the attention that we could give them. You know, spending the one-on-one time with several of them at different places, talking to them, touching them, letting them touch us. And they just wanted to be loved on. And Blessman giving us that opportunity is wonderful.
Well, in their humble way, they are choosing joy.
Yes, they are.
They've got it. We don't.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they got the concept.
Yes, yeah. And so they're just beautiful youngsters that have so much ahead of them, and that we all pray for them. And so many of them told us that they would pray for us, and that was so touching. You know, I just was like, oh, thank you.
Oh, so. That's great. That's great. Dee, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You did a wonderful job. You did a wonderful job. So we're going to turn the mic over. I think we have time for one more interview. And, of course, that's our favorite, Ray McHenry.
Father Ray, how are you doing tonight?
Thanks, Maddie. Thanks, Dave and Tony.
What a trip.
It's been quite a trip, hasn't it?
Yes.
You know, we're almost a couple more days to go, but we're not done yet. But it's been a marvelous trip. We've done a lot of marvelous outreach, spread the gospel, done work of social justice here. We helped children, helped adults. If we looked at the needs that people have here and have addressed them, and it's been a great trip.
Mm-hmm. Any particular one thing that sticks out in your mind so far?
Well, I always like work. Like some of your guests have already said, working with children is really amazing. To see the looks on their faces when you give them a pair of glasses that they can see all of a sudden. But I think for me is celebrating the liturgy here, celebrating the Eucharist with the people here. The liturgies here are so vibrant, aren't they? They are so vibrant and alive.
That was powerful
and
for me. That
powerful.
First Sunday.
And everybody sings with no hymnals. They have no instruments to accompany themselves. And they're singing two-part harmonies. Tony, yes. At the school the other day, they're singing 700 young people singing two-part harmony with no instruments, no backup. And the liturgy is alive. So you really feel Christ present in the liturgy. And I'm hoping when we get to St. Omar's in Mostase Sachani on this weekend that there's one grandma there, one granny, she has a police whistle, and that's how she keeps time. So maybe Granny Kagana will be there for us. So yeah, we'll want us to see that. So celebrating the liturgy. I think that's, I really love doing that here.
And Father, we thank you so much for leading this trip again, because it wouldn't be possible without you. You're the one that kind of steamrolls it through St. Francis. Yeah. And would you mind closing out this segment with a prayer?
Would you mind if I did it? Could we do the prayer of St. Francis?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll close in prayer. We say this at Mass at St. Francis. We'll close the prayer of St. Francis today, because the St. Francis' love for the poor kind of helps bring us here. So, and thank you for coming, and I'd like to thank Catholic Radio for being part of this. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we're pardoned, and as in dying that we're born to eternal life. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God descend upon you and remain with you forever. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Father.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, from the 95-degree temperatures here in South Africa. This is Deacon Tony signing off. And Maddie, any last words?
Nope. Have a great night, and please keep us in your prayers as we finish out our weekend here and head back to Iowa.
God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to an Iowa Catholic Radio special presentation from South Africa with Deacon Tony Valdez and Maddie Maher.